Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Marketing Corner.
Whoop, whoop,
woo-hoo. That is not...
Wow. Yeah,
that's not flying. Okay, we're at episode 68.
We are.
Yeah, back on track. It's good. Today, if you heard the last episode, I shared some of my learnings from SparkForce. We're going to stay in the agency world for just a tiny bit, because now we're going to talk a little bit about how to pick an agency.
Mm-hmm.
It's a topic a lot of companies go through, and I, of course, have some learnings, but you have a lot of learnings too, right?
Yes, from the inside,
right? So some red flags and some, like, how do you hold them accountable, how to make them sure they're right. So without further ado, let's start with the red flags. What are some of the things that worry you when you see it, when you're looking at picking an agency?
I think for me, you touched a little bit upon it in the last episode, is the pricing structure.
Yeah.
So a lot of agencies that I've seen that I have not gone with, they will charge you a percentage of the ad spend.
And so it's so crazy.
And that's crazy, because the whole point is to save money. But then you wonder, what is the agency's incentive? Because they're obviously going to want to make as much money as possible, so they're going to push the spend as much as possible to make sure, you know. So for me, that was something that was a red flag, and I wouldn't deal with any agency.
And it's typically related to paid search, I feel like.
Paid search.
Google Ads is mostly the channel where this happens.
Yeah.
And it's goddamn awful, like, in this case, because it's, for me, paid search, at least, it's a lot about efficiency, right?
Exactly.
And the next dollar you spend is very rarely as efficient, right? The reason people charge per spend is because they believe it requires more maintenance the more you spend. And don't get me wrong, it does, but it's not, like, exponential in the same sense. Like, I can say a transparency hour here. Like, once the structure is in place on Google Ads and paid search, well, you know, it's about maintenance after that. Yeah. And sometimes you need to introduce new countries, new stuff, like, blah, blah, blah. Don't get me wrong, there's stuff to do, but... It's limited.
It's tweaks.
Yeah.
It's tweaks.
And if you double your budget, you don't double the need.
No, you don't double your output.
No.
You know,
no
and
way.
That's the thing. You know, so we would look at a cost per lead basis. We would look at time. We would look at monthly retainers. But I think paid agencies are tough, and you run one.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, you want the results. You want the results for the cheapest price possible.
Yeah. And it's just... Yeah, and I think my main issue with it is just, like, incentivize is wrong.
Yeah, it's the wrong incentive. Yeah.
If you have a channel like Google Ads where you get more and more money the more they spend on channel, and you have another channel where you don't get that, which one are you going to push for?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to push for the one that gets you more money.
Yeah, the more.
But that doesn't mean that's necessarily right for the business.
Exactly.
So it creates this, like, weird incentivized structure, and I don't know why people still do it or commit to it, but. Here we are.
So that's red flag number one from my perspective.
Totally agree.
Which, from your side?
From my side. So one of the things I always wonder, and this is more, when I say agencies, more related to people who work with performance. It's performance agencies that don't operate within your CRM. So agencies who only do platform level reporting. So let's say they do paid search or paid social or something similar or something like that. And then they only report on what they can see in the platforms. So, hey, you got 5,000 impressions last week. Like,
woohoo!
Okay, cool.
Great. Did you just send the ad to Bangladesh?
Yeah.
And, you know,
exactly,
countries that maybe aren't in my ICP.
Exactly.
No shade on Bangladesh. It's just the first thing that popped in my head. But, you know, there's countries where you can get a lot of clicks. It doesn't mean they're necessarily
good ones. Exactly. Yeah. Right. So if you're never in your CRM, and you're never pushing for it, sometimes it can be hard to get, but it's fine. But I always found that, like, at the end of the day, how can you talk about pipeline stuff if you're never really in the CRM?
Yeah.
So for me, that would be a red flag. That was a red flag before, and would be a red flag today.
And I want to add. Speaking of CRMs, I've used agencies before who have set up our CRM.
Yeah.
And that can be very appealing. But one of the strategies that some agencies will employ is they will make it so complex that you can't actually manage it. So you need to keep them on to manage your own CRM.
Yeah.
And that can be very time consuming. It can be very expensive. And I remember joining a company, won't say which one, but they had used an agency to set up their CRM. And it was so incredibly complex that... Yeah. You touch one thing over here and it causes a tsunami over there.
Exactly.
And it was just too much, and it was way too complex. And what I decided to do was just fire the agency, scrap the whole thing, and build it from scratch in a more simple way.
And I think the takeaway, I have the same experience, right? Mm. So I joined a company at some point, and the website had been built with a custom CMS.
Yeah.
And I was like, Okay, so how do we change things? How can we change things?
Log a ticket.
Well, we're the only ones who do it, so we're the only ones who can change it. Like, so I have to pay you every time I have to change something.
And you have to log a ticket and wait for them to do it. And yeah, exactly. We had the same thing.
So maybe there's cases where this works. I don't know enough about the website creation space in that sense, but it's very rarely good to have custom stuff like that.
Yeah,
like custom,
absolutely.
It's very rarely. Sometimes it's okay, but most of the time it's not.
And I guess maybe some advice for our listeners who maybe are one-person armies, two-person armies, where it might be very appealing to hire an agency to own this for you, is it's not as hard as you think.
No.
And if you want to own your website, you can get some help setting it up. There's plenty of people who will help you set it up, help you get a domain, and then you run it. WordPress, very user-friendly. Webflow, very user-friendly.
Yeah.
You don't need an agency to help you do that, and it means you can make changes faster, cheaper, and yeah, there's something to be said for not having everything custom built.
Absolutely. Cool. Okay, moving on to the third one. Do you want to go, or should I?
You go ahead.
Okay. I got one. So this is I've only been operational for a year, so I haven't seen this that much. It's only something I heard from friends mostly. But commitment periods.
Yes.
Like notice periods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've literally had people with commitment periods of more than a year. Like notice periods of more than a year.
I've had a lot. Oh, notice periods.
Notice periods.
Oh, fuck yeah. I thought you meant contracts.
Notice periods of more than a year and commitment periods. So commitment periods are like, hey, you committed to 5 years. Notice periods like, hey, from the day you quit, it's you're off in a year.
You pay for a whole year. That's bonkers.
What?
That's insane.
So
read
anything.
Fine print, kids.
Like anything more than 3 months should be a big question mark.
Agreed.
We run with 1 month in SparkForce. We have the first 3 months are lock-in. So we lock in for the first 3 months because it requires a lot of time from our side.
Makes sense.
And then after the first 3 months, it's 1 month.
Yeah.
It's a running month plus a month.
Yeah. And that's most of the agencies I've had. It's a month, but it's you have to tell them before the end of the month.
Yeah.
And then the notice is effective from the first of the month to that month.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the
same. So let's say you we're in the middle of January and you said, hey, Jenna, Amanda said, hey, we want to get out. Like, I'm out. Cool. Then we would be running with you until the end of February.
Yeah.
Like that would be the last day.
And that would be it. Yeah.
And the reason for that is just like there's often a lot of things we want to finish. So we're in the middle of stuff. Like
over,
it just feels good. Like it doesn't feel. And also to be selfish, like sometimes we invest a lot in periods, some periods. So in previously, let's say we invest a lot in January here, like and we don't count hours, but we'd spend a shit ton of hours. Well, then February, we shouldn't spend the same level because we already overspend. And that's a good balance internal. Like it's a fairness principle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we run it.
No, that makes sense.
But anything more than that, like I can get with 3 months sometimes because sometimes there's stuff that are technical. You might have to sometimes it's very big clients and you have to hire little people to just sit on clients. So I can get behind three. In some cases maybe even more. But we're really pushing it.
Like, but if you have any notice period. Yeah. Make sure that you also get the effective handover, you know?
Yeah.
So when we left, we in a role that I had, we had a website agency to help us set things up. And then we were bringing it in-house and it was a 2 month notice period.
Yeah.
But in those 2 months, we're like, okay, we still have an SLA with you. We're still expecting you to fix things. And now instead of you doing tickets, we want the codes, we want the keys, we want, you know, everything that we need to run it ourselves. And we want the right to ask you questions up until our contract expires because we are still paying you.
We're still paying you. Yeah. Exactly.
So just make sure from client, like a client point of view, get your hand over, make it crystal clear and get everything cleared up so that when that time comes, you're good to go.
Exactly. Totally.
Nice.
Another one I have here on the list here is owning your account. So this is typically that goes for both for everything like paid social, paid search kind of stuff, but also for websites.
Mm-hmm.
We literally heard an example. This wasn't from our own case, but of someone who had a website built by an agency, and then the domain was hosted by the agency. And then when they quit the agency, they just shut down the website. They were like, fuck
Fine,
this shit,
fuck
we're
you.
Out. I was like, no fucking way.
Wow.
So they're like,
ballsy.
If you keep us around, you keep your website.
Yeah.
What the flying fuck?
That's crazy.
I don't get why you ever sign up for this stuff. How is it legal?
Yeah.
It's the same with I haven't stumbled upon this myself, but I've heard of these horror stories of people where they like have a Facebook account and then the agency owns the Facebook account.
Yeah.
So the day you leave, it's like, yeah, okay, goodbye. We're removing the pixel and all the data goes.
Everything's gone. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we have to start from scratch, I guess.
And I think somewhat related to that. This is experience that I've had is you know, if people are signing with a web agency, usually you sign with an agency because you don't know where to start.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned the hard way is if you're signing up for a CMS, ask around if it's a good one.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the price is right and you look at the price, and I won't say the name of the one that we had bought, but it was bought by someone who maybe hadn't done tons of experience in that, and that's fine. That's why they were getting an agency. They needed help. But the second I took over and I was like, hey, we're using the CMS, every developer I knew was like, I'm not touching that with a 50-foot pole. And that meant I had to switch everything to something a little bit more user-friendly.
Exactly.
So if you're signing these contracts, just do your own due diligence. Like, people are going to tell you, and 9 times out of 10, they're being honest and they're being transparent. But if you sign with the wrong contract, you know, the wrong company, the wrong agency, it's on you. Like, that's your fault if you have not done your due diligence, and it's going to be you who has to fix it. So just do your research. I like to always, when I'm looking at agencies, I always like to get three. You know, do RFPs, find out what's the best deal.
Fuck
you know, if someone has the best, the lowest price, there's got to be a catch, right?
Oh, but of course, right? Like, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it's a good rule of thumb. Try to do three RFPs at the same time. Request for proposals, request for quote, go through them with a fine-tooth comb.
Because then you can also, like, if some agency or some player or freelancer is willing to talk about things that the other ones are not, so like, yeah, but this is not, we will discuss this once we start working or something, right? Then that's also a red flag, right?
You got to set those parameters early.
You got to set, scope it, scope it properly. And it goes like, I've learned it from the other side of the table as an agency, you really got to scope things properly.
Oh, I'm sure, you guys have to set expectations just as much as we do.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a lot more on our side, I feel like. But at the end of the day, like, it goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
You got to manage those expectations. Like, hey, I expect you to do this, this, and this for me as Mr. Agency.
Are you going to do it, yes or no?
Yeah,
and if they say, yeah, we'll do everything,
that's a problem.
Yeah, there's got to be some caveats there. And I think we had an agency, and this is in no way their fault. They agreed to help us with a rebrand and doing a whole new website, a whole new everything. It was a huge project. And after we signed the contract, my decision makers on my side shortened the time frame from like a year to 4 months.
Wow.
Same
that amount. Is also
and
bullshit.
The agency was like, you know, and it was my responsibility because I was the head of marketing to make sure that we could fulfill this contract.
That sucks.
It was a real shitty situation to be put into. Yeah. And that wasn't the agency. The agency handled it well. They did everything that they could because a lot of it was on us, you know, and then we had to shorten our timeline. So that's another thing of getting all the decision makers at the table in the beginning and setting expectations across the board for the agency and for the client.
Exactly.
And for the client's boss.
Yeah.
So maybe now that we're kind of halfway through, let's move over to...
I have one more.
Oh, you do have one more.
I have one more, though, on my list. I just want to point this out. So another red flag I would highlight is communication, and both in terms of between you and the agency, but also when it comes to reporting.
Okay.
So, because like a lot of agencies, you need to, like, if there's no talk about how you communicate with each other, then a lot of agencies default to like, hey, we'll send you a weekly email or like not a weekly, but a monthly status report.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's the lowest amount of time they can dedicate. And they're like, yeah, but it's because we're doing all, like, we're only doing execution. Yeah, but are you then doing only execution?
Yeah.
Right? So just again, it's a managing expectation thing. But like, if you sense that the agency doesn't want to communicate with you, then that's an issue. Like, because I don't know any marketing things you can do today without communication.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not talking to your agency, and hopefully weekly, but if not, let's say often, frequently, then that's a red flag to me. Because how the fuck do you do marketing then?
And are you doing, do you have an internal Slack? Like, how do you prefer to communicate?
And this is not to plug, but we have Slack with customers, and we only do Slack. We try to tell them, hey, we don't want emails.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine, but we really don't. Mm. So we have a Monday board. So we track our
project. And you share.
Yeah, we share that. We share the Slack channel with the customer, and we make that for us. And we have an internal about the client, of course, but then we also have a Monday board with the client where we share all this stuff. And then we have a Google Drive and stuff. And then we have a weekly catch-up. So with all new clients, we meet every single week until at some point where after some clients we've been like with having them for 6 months, then it's like, okay, we don't need to meet every week now. Mm-hmm. We can meet every second week. But in the beginning, it's always every week.
Every week, to stay on the same page. That's a good point.
And I've had agencies when I was a head of marketing, when I met with them once a month. Mm. And they would prepare like some SEMrush pulled report. And I would look, they were like, hey, what's with this? I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, it's because we spend all the time on execution. Okay, but how the fuck am I supposed to know? You haven't talked to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I think I've had my experience with the exception of perhaps PR, which can happen, you know, if something's happening, we need to be able to react to it.
Things are different.
Yeah. But most of my agencies, I do meet monthly, mostly because I haven't the time
to
do every week. But then it would be like, okay, what have we done? This is the expectations we had. We had this many conversions last month. We have this many this month. What are we changing? And then if there is a problem, then we do, you know, change.
But I think the red flag is more if they're not willing to do it. Yeah. Like if there's no like clear line of sight for communication, like if there's no like, hey, this is how we communicate. If that's not outlined properly, then I think that's a red flag.
Definitely. For me.
Okay, sorry.
You're good. I just wanted to move over more towards the other side of it. Once you've found that agency, so they've ticked all the boxes, they are within the pricing terms, you've set their parameters, you're ready to go, then how do you make the most of having an agency?
Yeah.
Because from my point of view, as someone who has used agencies extensively, if you as the client don't have your shit together and don't know what you want and don't provide, especially if in a case of a PR where you need to provide content to that agency to do something. If you're not providing the content, you're still paying them, right? And so you need to make the most of your money. And it's the same if you have someone running your paid social and you don't give them content, you don't give them creatives, you're not getting your money's worth. Yeah. But it is a whole task. It's almost like having a direct report where you're having to give them stuff to make sure that they can do stuff. So
it,
I wanted to
it's
talk.
It's just like that. And I think you said it perfectly here. For me, having an agency, it's like having an employee.
Yeah.
And when I remember when I was the head of marketing at United FinTech, we had two agencies, I think, one with a website and something with SEO, with SEO. And for both of them, but especially for the website one, I just said, hey guys, I treat you guys as member of the team.
Yeah.
They're like, you're part of my team. Like I would, if you're a weekly employee or an employee, I would talk to you weekly.
Yeah.
So I talk to you weekly. Cause like, otherwise how the fuck are you supposed to know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Like what I want, what are we trying to do here?
Exactly.
Like these things are moving all the time and yeah, I'll spend a little bit more money on that. In this case, they charge per hour. So that sucks. Right. But that's for me, that's crucial. Mm-hmm. Like you got to treat and agencies like to hear it and it works better. It just fucking works better. If you treat them like you would treat them like a team.
Yeah, because
you have no idea the amount of whips we get. Like, oh my God. Sometimes people internally the team is like, they have deadlines of like 4 months or something. The agency, 2 weeks. So treat it the same. Then you get better results too, I think.
And from the client point of view, you know, I think sometimes, and maybe early in my career, you naively think the agency knows everything.
Yeah.
So, I've hired an SEO agency and I'm paying them monthly and they're going to create the content for me.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't know your product as well as you do. They don't know your ICP as well as you do. So you actually have to provide them with at least a skeleton. And if you don't have the resources to do that, you're not going to get your money's worth.
Totally.
It's the same with PR. Yeah. You know, I have had capacity issues in the past where I have this wonderful PR agency who are ready to go. They have the context, but I have to create the content.
Yeah.
And if I don't have the ability to do that, they can't do their jobs.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're taking on an agency, that is not the silver bullet. It is a requirement. And that's something I saw in previous roles where my manager's like, well, you have an agency dealing with that, so you don't have to worry about it. No.
I still have to worry.
I still have to worry a lot. And performance digital agencies too, you know, they're like, hey, we had 8 conversions. Well, they were all shit.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Why were they shit? Well,
exactly.
You're optimizing for clicks. I want optimizing for leads. And so, you know, you have to look at it and you have to give them feedback. Otherwise, you're not going to get your money's worth.
Like if an employee came back, was managing whatever, let's pay search again here in this case, and doing, you would not tell them, you're an idiot, you're fired. Maybe, hopefully you don't do that.
No.
Hopefully you don't do that. Then you would say, okay, but hey, we're going for this. Of course, when an agency, you pay for expertise. I'm fully aware.
Yeah,
but even the best experts don't always know what's going on in your mind. Like, right? Sometimes it's like, we're doing this because we thought this was the best, like this would be the best approach. Maybe clicks I would probably never do. But thought that was the best approach, but I didn't know you were trying to do this thing over here. You haven't said that.
You haven't mentioned. Yeah, and you can't read minds and you can't. I don't know. You're as an agency, you're never going to know my business better than me.
Yeah.
You have to know 12 different businesses or 27. You have 27. Yeah. You have to understand 27 different businesses.
Yeah.
I need to come with the direction. I need to come with the goals, the ICP.
Exactly.
And that was, especially when it comes to like a performance agency, that's where the struggle has been for us of like, they're optimizing for what they know, which could be clicks. It could be click throughs. It could be something like that. But I'm optimizing for good deals that close 6 months later.
I agree.
And they
totally
can't. It's hard to get those to match.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think a lot of it is about managing expectation. But when we mentioned that earlier, but I just want to say one of the things we felt an agency is not, while you should treat it as an employee, always remember it's not an employee. It is not an employee. No. And I mean that in a good and a bad way. So in the good way, it's that they can actually move a lot faster. And there's like sometimes like in, use us as an example, we're a bit like a Swiss knife, right? Like your employee, you can't expect them to both do a blog post and set up Google Ads in the same day, right?
Yeah.
Like no, who can do it? Like very few people can do that, right? Mm. An agency might be able to do that. Like we can do that, right? But at the same time, we don't stand together with you when you're drinking your coffee. I'm not right next to you. So do I know all the office gossip? I don't know all the stuff that's going on. So when you say to me, hey, I just want to do a campaign that's about this. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not enough, man. Like, I need more. Like, who? Why are you targeting these? Like, why are you focusing?
What do they care about?
And the rest of your team seems to notice. So there's some level of communication that's missing. And you always have to remember that. So you have to over-communicate.
Yeah, over-communicate.
Over-communicate. So make sure it's crystal clear. So when you say, I want this, this is why I want it. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm expecting. Boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. And then the agency can say, okay, in order to do this, we need X, Y, Z as well. Mm-hmm. Like in order to help you.
Yeah.
So, but over-communicate, it's never bad.
I've had times sometimes where my decision makers say to the agency, inspire us.
Fuck that shit.
And they're and the only time that that actually worked, we hired an agency, and shout out to Design by Structure, they were really great.
Okay.
Where we had no idea
okay.
what we wanted to do.
And that's okay sometimes.
And they did focus groups, they talked to employees, they talked to our customers, you know, they did their research and they said, these are the things that came up. This is what we're going to go with.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and that was incredibly helpful to have those.
Awesome. 'Cause
sometimes you can't see the wood through the trees when you're in it every single day.
That's why agencies are good.
And
sometimes,
that's why an agency, an external pair of eyes comes in and goes, have you thought about this, that? And then that gave us that direction. And then it kind of, then we were a part of the conversation, but we really needed direction.
Yeah.
And that's what they gave us. But you pay for that. You know, they're not the cheapest agency I've ever used, but they gave a level of service that we needed at the time.
That's
so it's not something you can expect everyone to do.
No.
But there are agencies out there who will do it for a price. And
you
have to, make sure that you make the most of it if that's what you're going to do.
No, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think you, I keep coming back to this, like treating them as employees, but you also want to set the standard for how you treat yourself. What I mean with that is so if you set strict deadlines internally, like if you're like super strict on deadlines, then that's also how you treat your agency.
Mm.
That's the same way. But it's not a good relationship if you have super tight deadlines with your agency and then you're like, okay, so agency, we delivered all this stuff. You could, okay, cool. Yeah, we're not ready over here. We need a 1 hour week. We haven't collected this. Like, but by the way, we need 1 leads tomorrow. Like, okay. That's weird.
Yeah.
Right. So at just like it just makes a better collaboration for everyone. At the end of the day, we're just people.
I think everyone's doing the best that they can.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at like a PR, you know, I've worked in the past with other PR agencies where we have an agreement that we're going to get 4 media mentions per month.
Yeah.
That's not always possible.
No, exactly.
You know, the media is, or it'll be like
that's
want
a good point.
Tier one. You know, it has to be Forbes. It has to be Wall Street Journal. That's so fucking hard to get.
Yeah.
And the agency who tells you, yes, we guarantee it.
Yeah. Speaking of red flags.
Yeah.
If you see any guarantees on marketing results ever, run. Run as fast as you can. It doesn't exist.
Mm.
It does not exist. Like I always tell my client, whenever we pitch, we always say, hey, I promise you we'll do whatever it fucking takes. We'll do as much as we can. We'll run as fast as we can for you. But I can't promise this is going to work.
Yeah.
We've seen it work. It works for other clients, but I can't promise anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's shit that doesn't work. We had a client where we couldn't figure out what wasn't working, and apparently it was because whenever you had to book their appointment with sales, their calendar function wasn't working. So it seemed like whenever you came from America, that you could only see European time zones, and they were all booked. So it seemed like there were no free time zones. How the fuck were we supposed to know?
That's not you.
Like, how are we supposed to know? We tried everything. We feel like, we didn't try this thing, but we feel like we tried almost everything else, right? Mm. We didn't figure out this part.
Yeah.
Because we tested it in Europe, and in Europe it worked, but we didn't test in US because we were on
VPN. Yeah,
So,
oh, man.
So my point is, like, come on, right?
Yeah.
But
I think if you also look at an agency like an extension of your team, you wouldn't do that to a team member.
Exactly. You wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't go, inspire me, and if you don't hit these KPIs by next month, you're fucking fired.
Yeah.
You know, you would help them, you would give them insights, you would give them support. Yeah. And then if they say, hey, I didn't make it because of X, Y, and Z, you go, okay, let's fix it for next time.
Yeah.
You know, and, exactly. And it's, I mean, but I've also had agencies that were absolutely terrible. And,
of course, you we know, all so, have.
But
absolutely.
You have to use your own common sense and, yeah, and take away a pinch of salt.
There's a lot of bad agencies out there.
Okay, like, for the last 3 minutes,
yeah,
let's share our horror stories. You go first.
From agencies?
Yeah.
I think I already mentioned those for the red flags, like the dollar charge per spend, like the commitment periods. Like the longest commitment period I've heard is that people would sign on for contracts for 7 years.
7 years.
You signed on for a fucking contract for 7 years.
In this day and age, not many people are in the same job for seven years.
And you think like that doesn't happen anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that much. But it still does happen. And I have no clue. So that for me, that's the worst. Like that shit scares the shit out of me. Mm. I had one I shared on LinkedIn.
Yes, I remember this.
Yeah, maybe people have seen this. So we did an audit, and it's a client we have. They're really awesome. Again, NDA can't say it, but a really cool client, a SaaS customer, and they had before, they were paying half the price of us, so way cheaper to get a paid search and some other paid social stuff, both the creation stuff. Anyways, so when we audited their paid search account, and in the last 6 months, they had been in the account changing things twice.
That's so
two times in 6 months. And I remember stating, like, I don't fucking care if you're bad, if the changes you're doing are wrong or like competence is what it is. Like you can be bad and you can be good. That I can live with that. But you can't fucking charge people money if you're not doing anything.
You can't
anything.
Charge things monthly and if you're not doing
And I don't
anything.
Care if you're charging That's... peanuts. Maybe you're just like, cause they were, it was cheap. So it wasn't charging a lot, but you were still charging.
Yeah.
And you were not in the account 3 months in between. And this was from, I won't say it, but this was from a respected agency. This was not a small one. It was like a 50-man plus agency.
Yeah.
And they changed two things in 6 months in the account. Yeah. Like, and in paid search, as we all know, it's about negative keywords, right? Mm. Negative search terms, all these kind of like optimizing bidding structures.
Yeah, you have to look at all of it.
And there were so many things that weren't set up, like extension stuff. So with all this kind of stuff, I don't know the context.
Yeah.
So maybe the context is that, hey, they paid us 500 kroners and told us to just set it up and never touch again. Maybe that was the context. So bear that in mind. If that's not the case, then this is disgusting. If that is disgusting. The case, then I'll accept it. But
I think for me, this isn't like the worst thing that ever happened, but this is a fun anecdote. We had a digital agency helping us with our Google ads.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to do, which I've seen work, is I wanted keyword insertion.
Yeah.
So, you know, you put in a code and then the keyword that the person searches for goes into that. The ad tech, so it's super, just so it's super personalized, tailored to what you're searching for.
Yeah.
It's a good strategy. What I didn't expect them to do was to apply it to our competitor campaigns, because we bid on competitors, people bid on us, we're going to bid on you, that's life. And so what they had done, and it's my fault for not specifying this, but I didn't think I had to with an agency who does this for a living, is I didn't want this keyword insertion applied to competitor ads. So what was happening is someone would Google a competitor, and then our ad would pop up with the competitor's name in our ad, which is a big no-no. And we got a cease and desist.
Oh, God.
And I'd been in the job for like 2 months. Oh. And we got a cease and desist from a competitor saying, you're using our company name in your ads. But we weren't. But we had the keyword insertion function where so if someone Googled it, their name would pop up. Yeah. So that's not like – that's not the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. But it was kind of a bonehead move of like, oh, I have to tell you not to do this.
That does suck. Yeah, I agree.
So those are using agencies. If you're doing keyword insertion, make sure
you
specify not to do them in competitor campaigns.
And on that note.
We're tired. It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, but we need to record one more. So the next one's going to be even more tired.
Even more tired.
Just get ready. Anyways, thanks for listening. Yeah. This was cool. We're going to shift focus away from agencies now a bit. But I think if this is good, we're going to do more of it.
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
All right, bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.